Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes. Well, here we are with Lloydie from Miss Imp, and we've just been watching the video of the end of our first day of musical improvisation, watching our pointing song about money. First impressions?
Oh, if I say it, it sounds awful. I didn't know it was that good. That sounds horrible coming from someone who was part of it. We're terrible, we're awful. No, I want to sound way more self-effacing than that. But I can't believe you took us from, you know, a group that, well, a few of us had done a 90-minute musical workshop and that's it, to over a day. I mean, literally, that exercise you introduced to us about 20 minutes before we performed that. And to see that back, I mean, you would have thought we'd been doing that for a lot longer. So that's a tribute to you as teachers.
Well, it is one of our favourite exercises because it kind of allows people a way in. Even if you're not very confident, even if there's something that you want to hold back about, you have your own moment, but then everyone sings together. But I have to say, from our point of view, it was nice working with a troupe that were happy to jump in and to be that enthusiastic about it. That wasn't just us.
No, and actually, you know, watching that one, what's really lovely is the whole, you know, group mind aspect. I mean, if you're familiar with improv, then you know about the whole group mind thing. And normally when we go in and do a musical workshop, you know, we're teaching a lot of people that haven't met before. But it's obviously very apparent you work with someone that does work as a troupe. The group mind thing, you know, like everyone's comfortable with each other. And that moment where, you know, you all go, give me what you owe, you bastard.
Give me what you owe.
It's very powerful.
You can see it on everyone's faces. They really mean it.
Yeah.
And that's what's so lovely about it, is that people are really expressing themselves.
We are a group that isn't afraid to express ourselves, I will admit. And I like that about Miss Imp. I think that's what attracted me to it 3 years ago when I came along to a couple of workshops. It's a group that gets immediately stuck in. There aren't really any taboos. We will just go for it. It's always a safe place to improvise. And we enjoy learning new stuff. We always want to be better. And so having you guys coming here and teaching us really something that the vast majority of us had never even touched upon before is so much fun.
So we're halfway through the experience of musical improv comedy. Well, one and a half through, because it's now 1 o'clock in the morning, I believe.
Thankfully, we have not been drinking before recording this.
No.
Nothing can go wrong.
That would be
absolutely
terrible.
That would be awful.
No.
But, yeah, I guess I'm interested to know. I mean, you're obviously someone who really wanted to unite music and improv, but also, more importantly, almost, is how it was for the people you know who were like, oh, I'm really scared of music and I'm not sure about combining the two. Just your thoughts on those things.
I think between all of us in the group, I think everyone is coming from quite a different perspective and from very different backgrounds. The joy of improvisers is, apart from our love of improv, and we do talk about it a lot, in Miss Imp, we've got people who are like, you know, doctorates in linguistics, scientists, people who work for the probation service, you know, people like me who are media tarts. You've got the whole gamut of people, and we end up talking about all kinds of stuff. And equally with this workshop, we've come to it from so many different experiences. I mean, I've never united music and improv before, but I've always sung in church choirs. As a kid, I learnt piano and violin. For me, music has always been a part of my life, even, you know, just in terms of my work on the radio. I've always played songs on the radio, so music's always been there. I mean, you've just got this combination of people who are coming at it from so many different perspectives, which is why watching what we've just watched back from today, where the whole group gelled together, and yes, I know we're used to performing together, but we come from so many, you know, in terms of where we, how we look at music. We come from so many different backgrounds. Mm. Watching that gel together, that was magic.
So, from your point of view, what can you give to the audience through music that you can't do through normal improv? Because it's hard for a lot of troops to do musical improv because they feel they haven't got a musician, or they haven't got a musician that knows what they're doing well enough, or they don't feel confident enough to sing without a musician. So, what is it? What is the gift that you're giving to an audience when you introduce music into your improv?
I think, well, in improv, we talk a lot about heightening the emotion, heightening the stakes of whatever is going on in a scene. There are few things that you can do in any art form that heighten things more, particularly emotionally, than music. Mm. It's used in films all the time to create tension, drama, to emotionally manipulate you, to cry. I mean, you name it, it's there. And when you introduce it into improv, it, especially to an audience, A, obviously it has an emotional effect, but B, it does just seem like magic. For our podcast, we interviewed Baby Wants Candy at the Edinburgh Fringe, and I said to them, the first time I saw them, I could have sworn it was either pre-planned or witchcraft.
And we get that a lot from our musical shows, is people think, well, how do you know what you're doing? You're not talking to each other.
Seemed to me, I honestly watched them, and even as an improviser, I watched them and thought, do you know what, this is really brilliant, but this isn't something that mere mortals can do. And today, I mean, I did their workshop at Edinburgh this year and got a glimpse of it, but today I realised, in the next few months, with a bit of rehearsal, this is something that we can integrate into our shows.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful realisation, because I realised all the possibilities that entailed, and I realised what that would mean to the audience. And for them, I think there's a sense of wonder and a sense of amazement that people can do this on stage, but also the emotional heightening that comes with it, particularly if you've got a scene leading into it where something's going on and there's a kind of underlying emotion. Mm. And you taught us today brilliantly this ballad where you ask two people how they met and what kind of things they like doing together as a couple.
Yeah.
And then you turn that into a song with a kind of two verses, a chorus, a verse and a chorus.
And you're giving them that information back in a song. So in a way, the magic is kind of, you're revealing what you're doing, because you're like, well, you've given us the information. We're making it rhyme, but essentially everything in the song is stuff that you've given us. So it's kind of like there's classic mind-reading tricks where actually all the information comes from the person itself, but when you give it back to them, they're like, yes, that's true, that's me, that's about me.
I thought that earlier on today. I thought, this is exactly like cold reading, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's an audience pleaser.
It's also, as we often say, bringing another improviser on stage. The musician is as much as a part of what's happening on stage as anyone else, and I, as the musician, give offers that people need to listen to and accept. And if that offer is denied in the same way that a verbal offer could be or initiation could be denied, then it's just as awkward. And there have been shows when I've come in with an offer and it has been ignored, and then I'm the one standing on the side of the stage with the character that's not part of the scene anymore.
I'm sorry to turn into interviewer here, because I know this is what I do partly for my job.
I knew it was going to happen.
It's ingrained within me. But do you prefer accompanist or musical director? I think I know the answer to this.
I think you should know the answer to that, yeah.
But you prefer musical director,
You know what? I think I prefer improviser.
Okay, good. Actually, that's even better than musical
director.
That's
what I feel like. I mean, I have a role as a musical director within the Maydays, in that I will happily direct a rehearsal to do with music, and that's fine. But when I'm on stage, I'm not a musical director. I'm an improviser as much as anyone else is.
And I totally, totally agree with that, because... And this also has come recently with our experience of having a light improviser.
Mm, very much so.
And we've noticed the quality of our shows is upped so much percentage-wise by having an improviser on lights, because the edits that get provided are so important. Not to do you down, Joe, and we're talking about music.
No, it's totally true.
But it's valid. It's a really valid point, you know? Like, everybody involved in that show on lights or on music are as much an improviser as the people on stage, we have found recently.
Yeah. Well, we found this too, in terms of sound and lights recently. We found, if you've got improvisers, like James on sound, is superb, and he always does sounds at a show at the Glee Club now, because he's so good at it. Mm. And and he understands where the scene's going and what we need from it. And actually, he's very unintrusive most of the time, but we'll do particular scenes and something will come in and it will get a laugh from the audience. It'll enhance what the improvisers have been doing. And that is, I mean, that's a real skill. And I think that, particularly amongst some performers, there's an attitude of, well, unless you're on stage performing, then you're in a supportive or ancillary role. And I really loathe that because actually, I mean, I couldn't do what you do, Joe. And anyone who improvises music on a keyboard and actually copes with people who sometimes drop a line or drop a bar or a half bar of music, and then you're still keeping up with them and you're absolutely supporting them, but also providing the framework for all the music that is going on stage, that's massive. It has a massive, on a musical show, it's not just an important impact, it's actually one of the crucial impacts.
Well, this is the thing, but the funny thing is that the lighting and the sounds, they provide, they're more of on a subconscious level for the audience. Mm. And personally, I think in the Maydays and also in the sketch comedy show that we do, if people don't notice me there, that's a good thing, because that means they haven't notice anything weird or bad about the music. It means it's just been affecting them. I'm the one that going straight into their brains and messing about with it and going like, I'm going to make this scene a horror scene. We were talking about this earlier. Even though it might not be a horror scene at all. Or I'm going to turn this hideous scene into a farce, into a comedy by playing the music. So, yeah, it is a powerful role that I'm playing, even though it's not as visual and not as obvious for an audience. And often an audience won't comment on the lights or the music afterwards. And but it will totally affect the experience they've had.
Speaking as someone who is also a hypnotist, if you're affecting someone's unconscious mind, you're having a bigger effect on the audience than the people that are playing with their conscious minds.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got another day of musical improv tomorrow. Ooh. We're going to go deep. We're going to look at how to get into songs from scenes and stuff like that. So I guess kind of watch this space. Watch for Miss Imp, and we want you to check back to us, see if they've been doing music in their shows when we're not there.
Well, you'll have to check out our podcasts, which are available via missimp.co.uk. Can you tell I've worked in commercial radio as well as the BBC?
No.
I'm able to slip that in this way.
I think I've run out of memory.
Oh no.
Yes. No. No, it's not true. We're still going. But I can edit that out. So, yeah, watch this space. I'll be interested to check in with you again.
If you're an improviser in the Midlands or near the Midlands, see Miss Imp at Glee.
Last Friday of every month at the Glee Club on just off Canal Street, by the canal. Strangely, what with it being just off Canal Street.
That's weird. And look out for some music in their shows. Hopefully there's going to be some now. We're excited about that.
There will be. There will be in the next few months.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Lloydy.
Thanks, Lloydy.
Thank you. And thank you for all you've done for us this weekend. It's been ace.
And if you haven't hired
these guys already, hire them, all right? Can you tell I've worked at commercial radio? Because I've done this thing before.
Hire us!
Yeah, we'll pay you later.
Hire them. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's like a discount, yeah?
Yeah, so, we'll talk about that.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Thanks for listening to our latest podcast, musicalimprovcomedy.co.uk. This is bye from me, bye from Joe, and bye from Lloyd.
Bye.